بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. ثم بعد، My dear brothers, let me ask you a question. My question is, do you have developmental plans for your children? You understand the question? Do you have developmental plans for your children? Written down. If the answer is yes, alhamdulillah. If the answer is no, then I wouldn't ask you to answer to me, because they are your children, but you need to ask yourself this question. Why is it that you do not have written down developmental plans for your children? The reality is that most people bring up children just like they bring up pets. Just as they raise a cat or a, you know, bird or something, they raise children in the same way. Meaning, they make sure they are fed in time, they make sure if they are sick, they have medical attention, they keep them comfortable, they keep them dry, they keep them warm. And with the addition that with children nowadays, we also make sure they have enough gadgets, right? And you think your job is done. So what's the difference between raising a son or a daughter and raising a cat? There should be some difference, right? But for most people, I don't mean you, I'm saying most people, there's no difference. Exactly the same mentality. Now believe me, if you have no development plans for your children, believe me, there is somebody in the world who has plans for them. And those plans are not for their benefit, they are for the benefit of the one who's making the plan. And that is how you find that young people go off into areas which are anything ranging between useless to dangerous, because they have no plan for themselves. Now, having developmental plan doesn't mean that you act like a dictator and you write this down and say, you will do this. No, not by a long shot. It means a communication with your child. It means talk, not one day, it means an ongoing communication with your child. The child talks to you, you talk to the child, he tells you what he wants, he tells you what's in his heart, what aspirations and so on and so forth, and you help him or her to reach that goal. Guide them in paths and so on and so forth. Right? And that's why if you read the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never taught little children. There were a lot of little children around him. Zaid bin Harisa and Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhuma and others. But they just happened to be there. Rasulullah ﷺ never ran a creche or a nursery school or a, you know, maktab or madrasa for little children. No. He spoke to adults. He talked to the parents. He talked to the men and the women. And they went home and they spoke to their children. Now that has two positive, very, very important positive effects. One is you are actually addressing people who are in control, who have the resources, who are, Allah made them responsible and they are responsible. Number one. Number two, you are now opening the doors for communication between parents and children. You know, today it makes me very happy when I see you guys, you know, together and so on. MashaAllah, may Allah keep you all like this, hearts together, MashaAllah. But that's not the reality of a lot of people. Parents and children, especially as the children grow older, they become complete strangers. Right? Total strangers. Including if you go to somebody's house and you say, where's daddy? I don't know. When will he come back? I don't know. And the father's there, where's your son? I don't know. I mean, the house is like a hotel. You know, somebody checks in, checks out, and they eat and we don't know what they eat, and there is food in the fridge. So they pick up something, they eat it, and they go to sleep, and they wake up, and they go out, and they come in, and nobody has any clue I mean, is it a family or is it a hotel? What is it? So, alhamdulillah, you guys come here to the masjid together, makes me very happy. May Allah bless you and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep your heart together like this and may Allah keep you strong, inshallah. But believe me, this doesn't happen automatically. So, I'm saying, my point of talking to you is really, I mean, here we are preaching to the choir because you don't need this, but inshallah, you will carry it to somebody who needs it. So, ask this question and say, what is your developmental plan for your son or daughter? And if you don't have one, then think about this and say, is there a difference between how I raise my cat and how I raise my son? Should there be a difference? Now, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do this, this is what happened. The people became closer to each other. There's a beautiful story where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked. He asked the whole bunch of people there. So he asked them, which is the most beneficial tree? Right? Which is the most beneficial tree? And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to say something, but his father also was there. So he thought maybe the father will say something. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he didn't say anything. So he kept silent, he kept quiet. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the date palm. So later on, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab asked him, how come you didn't answer? He said, because I thought you were going to answer. You know, this kind of... Now, final point therefore is, inshallah, you will make plans. Now, in those developmental plans, if you have developmental plans for your children, where does Allah come in? Where does Allah come into this developmental plan? My son or daughter must be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. My son or daughter should be somebody who stands in tahajjud and makes dua. Because when I'm gone, I want him to make dua for me. Now, if he's not even praying tahajjud, where's this dua coming from? So, what is the connection? I want my son or daughter to be somebody who, if they raise their hand, then Allah will accept the dua before their hands are lowered, inshallah. So, where is that? Where is this connection with Allah in the development plan for your children? Where is the connection with Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Because this is the secret of success. The secret of success in this life and the next life is our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Is that part of the developmental plan? Right? Because more and more that I see people who are, alhamdulillah, everybody, you know, well-intentioned and so on, but just being well-intentioned alone is not enough. Intention has to be supported with actual action. Final point I want to make is that in this developmental plan with regard to the deen, it's important, just like you would have milestones for your worldly plan. So, if you want your son or daughter to be, successful in business, then you would say, okay, this is the line that they must follow. This is the kind of education they must have. This is the kind of internships they must have. This is the kind of exposure to this business or that business. And then they choose what they like to do and then they go ahead in that. Similarly, in the deen, there are three or four things which are absolutely critical for especially every male Muslim to know. I mean, even though women can know that, nothing wrong with that. But for the men, and that is, number one, this is very, very basic, absolutely like kindergarten stuff. But the funny thing is, how many people don't even know that? One is, how to call the adhan. I don't mean the tune, I mean the correct way. Number two is the iqama. It's funny how people come for salah 5 times a day and when they make the iqamah, they do it wrong. I mean, how is that possible? You are listening to the, if you are praying in the masjid, then you are listening to that iqamah 5 times a day. And still they do it wrong. So, adhan, iqamah. 3, leading salah, imamat. In Islam, there is no priest. Please understand this. This is a religion without a priestly class. There is no clergy in Islam. There is no church in Islam. There is no pope in Islam. Right? It is the job of every single Muslim to be able to lead salah. This is not a paid position. It's not somebody pays a salary for something. No. You should be able to do that. And do it properly. I'm not saying you have to recite Suratul Baqarah. No, not necessary. But the usul of salah, the principles of salah, do you know? Number four is the Jummah khutbah. Again, I'm not talking about the lecture part of it. That's a different issue. Public speaking, lecture, you know, reading, research, writing. I'm talking about the Arabic khutbah and the salah, the usul of that. What are the principles? Do you know? And number five is Ahkamul Janais, the usul and the principles of preparing the body when somebody has died. Like I mentioned last Jummah, how tragic it is that if the father dies, the son does not know what to do. And some stranger has to bathe your father, has to put kafan on your father, and has to put your father in the grave, and has to pray salatul janazah for your father, some stranger. Whereas you should be the person to do it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the dua of the bereaved, of the person who is heartbroken, but the person who is heartbroken doesn't know what to do. So, a stranger imam has to make dua. I mean, how do you expect the imam who is a stranger, even if he knows your father or something, even if he's your father's friend, he's not your father's son, right? So, what is the power of that dua compared to your dua which you could have done? Of course, you can make dua outside the janazah, doesn't mean, but I'm saying if you were the person to lead the salatul janazah. So, these are the five things which are absolutely critical. Adhan, Iqama, Salah, Jum'ah and janazah. And as I told you, I'm not talking about some great high level of education. This is absolutely minimal. Every 10-year-old should know this. Every 12-year-old should. I'm not saying the 10-year-old will actually do the khutbah. I'm saying he should know what to do. So when he becomes, you know, baligh, then inshallah, if there is a need, he should be able to do that. But I've seen across the world, masjid after masjid, people who come for salah regularly, musallis, five times a day they are praying. One day the imam or the khatib is not there, there's panic. What will happen? Who will do the khutbah? I mean, it should be like you shut your eyes and you point like this and you say, okay, that person come, do. And they should be able to do a perfectly good job. Because everyone should know what to do. As I told you, I'm not talking about lecturing. I'm not talking about speech making. I'm talking about the actual religious piece of the khutbah, which is the Arabic khutbah and the salah. Right? So, inshallah, this is some thoughts, inshallah, in your mind. May Allah bless you and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to focus correctly on the real things which matter. Right? And begin with that, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.